Right now it is time for Dr. Werpman. Judy Werpman, of course, joins us every week at this time. And, of course, Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. And also Simon Loses His Tummy. And I hope it's not rainy and cloudy and cool in Boston. Good morning, Dr. Werpman.
Good morning, and it's cloudy, not raining, and it's supposed to be warm, but not yet. So we're just waiting. Yesterday was one of those weird days where it was warm, and then it got very cool. Oh well, it's New England.
That's not even going to make it as an excuse right now. Your topic, the unfortunate association between pain and obesity, we definitely need to talk about, which we will in 1 second. But I will say that, sadly, I saw last night, a dietetic expert. Uh-huh. And she said that basically there is a massive spike in obesity starting the last 30 years. What could have caused it? Well, people eat grain and carbohydrates.
Oh, for gosh.
And I just wanted to smash my head against, well, actually a bird feeder fell on my head, so I didn't need to smash my head, but I was like, no, actually what started is about 30 years ago, the massive prescribing of drugs and anti-anxiety meds that have as a side effect weight gain, ballooning weight gain. And it's just, when you can't do the basics, it's really hard to get past... get on track, you know? I need to mention that.
People, I mean, the degrees of ignorance concerning what causes weight gain that bubbles up, about every 3.5 weeks is appalling. You're right about the antidepressants, and the point that I think people tend to overlook is that people get antidepressants not just for depression, anxiety, panic attacks, obsessive compulsive disorder, etc., but they also get antidepressants to deal with pain. And that tends not to be understood unless you are in pain and you have had those antidepressants prescribed for you. Fibromyalgia, for example, which is a dreadful disease to have, because you're in pain most of the time, if not all the time. And it sort of migrates around your body. You never know when I'm going to have the next painful episode and where. It affects your sleep. I have friends who have fibromyalgia who are unable to sleep for more than two or three hours at a time because pain wakes them up. And one of the things that the pain does, and that it does for everybody who has it, is to make you feel extremely tired. And people respond to that fatigue by eating. So if I eat something, maybe I'll feel less tired. If I'm really sleepy, maybe if I eat something, I'll be able to go to bed. Maybe the pain will diminish. But people with fibromyalgia are given drugs, if they want to take them, like Lyrica and others, which work just like the antidepressants. And if you look at the side effects that are listed for the drugs, weight gain is one of them. And as I wrote in the article, there's this dreadful association between being in pain and gaining weight, because when you are in pain and you gain the weight, what it does is make more pain. It's like this vicious circle that you're in the middle of, or a whirlpool.
We actually had that with Marshall, because he was having nerve pain in his foot. And the only good news about this story, which I've told about a zillion times, is that they wanted to put him on Lyrica and insurance wouldn't cover the extra $1,000 a month. And so then they wanted to put... But one of the side effects of, and this was the frustration, of Lyrica is indeed weight gain. And you can't get onto, it's an absolutely, especially if you have a predisposition, it's absolutely a vicious cycle. It's like a hamster wheel that's way squeaky.
Well, they do have a drug that does
gabapentin.
Does not have, it's Humana. And it's put out. And it doesn't have nearly as many side effects, but the price of it is prohibitive to most Americans, including me.
What I didn't realize is that the more weight you gain, and it doesn't have to be more than 10 or 15 pounds, it puts so much pressure on your joints that if you already have joint pressure, joint pain, is simply going to make it worse.
Yeah, it's literally straw that breaks the camel's back. Or what you can do is you can look at Simon loses his tummy. Just, you know, when you think about a dog that's got an extra pound, depending on the size of the dog, it's not a lot. But
dragging your body around. And, you know, I think what brought this to mind initially was I'm sort of somewhat addicted, although I've sort of broken this addiction to watching this program called My 600-Pound Weight, My 600-Pound Life, in which people who are, well, beyond belief in terms of their obesity have to walk from their bed to the bathroom or from their house to the car to get to the doctor, and they are in agony. And I thought, well, why are they in so much agony? And I began to read about it, and they are in agony because their bodies simply do not support their weight. But you don't have to weigh 600 pounds for this to happen. All you have to do is have some kind of injury or use your muscles the wrong way or strain your muscles or have a virus that's causing your muscles to go into spasm, and you are in pain, and you can't walk, and you can't move, and you can't bend down, and you can't sleep. And this is transient. It may be only for 2 or 3 weeks, or if you're lucky, or maybe a couple of months. And you think, oh, my gosh, how can I walk? I don't want to walk down the block. I can't go up and down the steps. I can't even get up from a chair without any pain. And you stop moving. And think of the people who have rheumatoid arthritis, regular arthritis, or any other kind of pain, back pain, knee pain, hip pain. And they are unable chronically to walk and move at all without pain. How are they going to lose weight? Because you'll, and Marshall, you know that not moving and being in pain does nothing for your appetite. I mean, you know, you may not move from morning until night, but you still are hungry. You still want to eat. And in fact, food becomes one of the few pleasures left to you because you really, you know, and even as a distraction, because there's very little in your life other than pain. And nobody really has been able to sort of solve the problem. How do you get people who are in chronic pain, who don't sleep, who are taking medications that cause them to gain weight, and how do you get them to lose the weight that might indeed make the pain less, you know, difficult to deal with or more manageable?
Yeah, and that's just a really good and important question, and one that, you know, just needs to shift everybody's mentality to wellness. So we will try. It's going to be a long one. Anyway.
So we'll try next week. But I think one of the answers is that maybe people who go to pain clinics should also go to a physical therapist afterward. And the physical therapist should say, okay, this is how you move. Even if it's 3 steps, even if it's getting up and down a chair, even if it's getting you to be able to raise your hands above your head, this is how you move. This is the gentle kind of exercise you do, not just say to people, oh, go ahead, and you should exercise. And I don't think that's done enough. In fact, there have been papers written showing that about almost half the people with arthritis aren't even given any kind of advice as how to
move, at least, or work around it. That's a bad. We will talk next week. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye then.
Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Dr. Wortman every Thursday morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.